Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, John Copeland and special guest Jesse Duplantis explain why God's love is essential in forming your goals and how that leads to making right decisions for your future.
Hello, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm John Copeland. I'm the son of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. I'm the CEO here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And I want to thank you for joining us today on this Thursday. We've had a great week. We've had a great last week with our special guest, Brother Jesse Duplantis.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here, Jesse.
Thank you, sir.
It's been a lot of fun, as usual.
Thank you.
We talked about some good things. We talked about some Cajun things while
Amen.
We were, in between shows. And we're having a great time. And I tell you what, God is good. And if you don't know that, then you need to stay with us because you're going to find out how good God is, because he wants you to enjoy life,
Amen.
Doesn't he?
Hey, that's what he created us for, not to suffer. I've heard that all my life. You know, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to suffer. Well, Jesus suffered for us. That doesn't mean we don't go through things in life, but the thing is we go through them. You know, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, John, it didn't say, though we stop, build a house, canonize the place. That's where God resides, in Death Valley. No, you come out of Death Valley into life. He created you to enjoy life. And if you're not enjoying life, I can just say this, and I mean this sincerely, you need more understanding of the Word of God. Because I give you a prime example. When everything was going wrong with Paul and Silas, they were singing songs in the night. With their backs bleeding, the boys are singing, "This is the day that the Lord hath made." And they sang, I guess, so good or so bad, it knocked the door locks off the thing, and they were set free. Think about that. So if you're not enjoying life, you need to hear more of the Word of God. And God's word will produce good things in your life.
Yeah, but another part of that, too, is not only hearing the word, like we talked about yesterday, you have to be a doer of it.
Yes, sir.
And part of that happiness or fulfillment in life comes from fulfilling the plan and the dream that God has given
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And if you're not fulfilling that, then there's going to remain a void there.
Right.
You need to be in the place that you're fulfilling God's call on your life. You know, whether it doesn't mean you have to go into fivefold ministry.
That's right.
People are called to be doctors. They're called to be school teachers. They're called to be policemen. They're,
sure.
they're called to be a lot of, different things in life. But wherever you're at, God has a plan for you in that life, whether you're
Amen.
A businessman or whatever, baseball player. God has a plan for you in your life to do what you're called to do. And like I said, it doesn't mean you have to stop what you're doing in your career.
That's so true.
And go into ministry, because God calls all types wherever you're at. There's only a certain percentage are actually in fivefold ministry.
That's right.
But there is something you're supposed to be doing, and it's going to be something that's going to affect people's lives. And you can do that no matter what job you're in. And so until you're doing that, what God's called you to do, you're not going to be happy.
That's right.
You may have material things. You may have the things that you need in life as far as, food and something to drive and a house and your family may
sure.
be financially taken care of. But there's a lot of really rich people out there who are completely unhappy
That's right.
and just want to die and finish their life. You don't want to be in that place.
That's right.
And, there's a lot of people out there who don't have anything, who are very happy.
That's
and
right.
they're satisfied with in life. So I think that what you have to do, though, is no matter where you're at in finances or where you're at in anything in your career, you need to be following the plan of God. It's not too
Amen.
Late. It's never too late to do that. And so that's what we've been talking about
Amen.
For last week and this week.
Right.
And we're going to continue on with that.
Amen.
And Brother Jesse, won't you take us into the
okay.
next phase of this?
To enjoy your vision and to enjoy your life, you got to know what's behind you and who's got your back. I want to deal with that today. I was telling the TV staff before we came on today, I had a man told me, he said, Brother Jesse, I'm behind you. And I looked at him and said, how far? How far are you behind me? If I lean back, will I hit the ground or will you catch me? One thing I know about God is kind of a silly term over saying he's got my back. In other words, he said, I'll never leave you. You notice the words he said, never. Never leave you, never forsake you. That's wonderful to be able to lean back and know that you're in the arms of an almighty God. One thing I think Moses loved about Joshua was Joshua had his back. I mean, if you think about it, everybody else down there, they all playing and making golden calves, including Moses, his brother. all this kind of stuff going on, crazy stuff. But Joshua is halfway up that mountain waiting for Moses to come down. He didn't care if it was 40 seconds, 40 days, 40 years. He was not leaving because he knew his vision in life was to serve that man. And you know what God said? I mean, and everybody knows when Moses' time was over, God explicitly said that Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, get up, cross this vision, across this Jordan, excuse me, and complete this vision. And I love what he said. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have already given you. So God actually saw Joshua do it before he did it. That's why he could back Joshua up. See, he knew, calling those things would be not as though they were. That is so wonderful. I have to say this, the staff at Jesse the Plans Ministry, they got my back. Now, there's been some that have walked away. And you know, nothing's perfect in life. Even Jesus had a Judas, you know what I'm saying? And let me help you about Judases. If you want to know where the Judas is that may be hurting your vision, just give an offering. Because the Judas is going to be the first one that talks. Notice when Mary Magdalene broke that alabaster box, who's the first person to talk? Judas. Shouldn't this money have been this and that? But what he wanted was that money. So you have to find out the hindrances to your vision so you can speed it up and get it to come to pass. But the most comforting thing I have in my life is that I know God's got my back. Your mother and father, I not only consider them prophets of God, called by God, ordained by God to minister to the world, but I also know that they're friends. I can call your father. Your father can call me. We've both done it at times. How many times have I called your father? And I might have called him in a busy time. I don't know. And I'd say, hey, Brother Corbin, this is Jesse. Hey, Jesse, how you doing? What can I do for you? I said, you got a nugget? I'm just looking for a nugget. I want a nugget. A nugget from what does God say? Just give me a little, like a chicken nugget or something, you know? And boy, I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost would come on your dad. He would speak a word. 2 hours later, he'd go, but that was the best 2 hours I ever spent in my life. I would take it. And it's what I needed for that day. It's what I needed to flow. And obviously take me to another level. In other words, I knew he had my back. He knows I have his back. And that's what friends are for, you know? I really say this, and I mean this, and if I'm wrong, then I repent for it. You may have a lot of acquaintances in life, but you have very few friends. If you come up with three real friends in your life, you've done very well.
You want to know how you find out?
How's that?
When you get in trouble.
That's right.
And
well, they got you back. They may not agree what you did wrong. That's not the issue, because a true friend will tell you, but they're still your friend. They're there for you.
Body of Christ is real bad about that.
Well, we kill our own wounded, John. In fact, we love to shoot them. And then we love to glorify the wound. And then we want to put some medicine on it to make them think that we're trying to be helpful. But we make sure we cut into the wound while we're putting the medicine on the wound. I mean, what sin that you've committed that nobody knows about? That you hadn't got caught or maybe hadn't been done publicly. See what I'm saying? So my whole key, I don't rejoice in judgment. I have some friends of mine, and I say friends, excuse me, not friends, acquaintances. They love God beating people's brains out. They seem to enjoy that, but... And I realized God wasn't beating their brains out. The only trouble I've ever had in my Christian life and in my ministry has come from Christians. Hadn't come from sinners.
It's the same with this ministry.
Yeah, I mean,
the ones that are coming out, they come against us, you know, and write books about us.
Yeah,
you know, it's not
Christians.
The heathens. It's Christians.
So-called Christian people. And I thought, why, Lord? I mean, you can agree to disagree with me. There's a lot of things some people say that I don't agree with, but I don't go try to kill them. And hurt them. I used to say they're totally wrong. And that was my youngness. That was my stupidity. Then I realized, wait a minute. Maybe I haven't grown enough to understand what that person said. So if somebody says something that concerning scripture, for example, that I might automatically think, now that's heresy. That isn't right. I used to go, when I was young, I said, no, now I take that, put that on the shelf. And then I meditate and I concentrate and I ask God, if any man lack wisdom, Lord, let him ask of God, help me to understand this. And I found out that some things I disagreed with was because I wasn't old enough to understand or be at that level of revelation to understand it the way the person was saying it.
Another thing, too, though, that you would never do is even if you didn't agree with it.
Right.
You would not go out against that person.
Well, you know, Jesus.
We need to talk about the things we agree on.
Yes, sir.
And agree that we agree on. Jesus is risen from the dead.
Amen.
He's our Savior.
Talk to me.
Whatever we can agree on.
Amen.
That's what we need to focus on.
Well, you know, Jesus knew Judas was stealing for 3 years and never told nobody. Now, you think about that. You think he'd have been a good district superintendent? Jesus, you think about that. He knew he was stealing from the bag. He never told Peter. He never told James. He never told John. They were very close to him. I think he was, in my opinion, he was giving Judas time to repent. I don't doubt in their private conversation, Judas, what you doing? You think I'm stupid? What's the matter with you, Judas? I know what you're doing. Now, do right. It's kind of like the Cain and Abel thing. God said, the sin lieth at the door, Cain, but if you do right, you just do right, and you'll fix this. You'll bypass this, you see. Actually, God had Cain's back. He was telling him what to do in this situation, but because of his disobedience. And it's amazing how quickly you can take obedience and make it disobedience. It's three letters. You just diss it. You know how you have been dissed? Think about that. You just disobedience. Same thing with a promise. You add three letters, a C-O-M to it, a promise becomes compromise. I mean, you change the whole fabric of what God wants you to do. So to keep your vision alive and to keep so where you know that you're going to get to your destiny, reach your destination, is that you got to know who's behind you. You got to know who's got your back. And Moses knew Joshua had his back. Elijah knew Elisha had his back. I believe Kenneth Copeland knows Jesse Duplantis has got his back. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, he's my friend. I mean, you speak against him, you speak against me. If I understand covenant, and that also includes you because you are the seed of Kenneth Copeland. See, this stuff just doesn't happen with one person. It goes down the line. See, I've taught my daughter and I'm going to teach my granddaughter what I call perpetual giving. What do you mean perpetual giving? In other words, if God spoke to me to be a blessing to a ministry or whatever, why wouldn't he speak to my descendant? Why wouldn't he speak to my seed to do the same thing? I never could understand. You know, I'm a man, I think all the time. You know, people say, he's so funny. But if you really want to know the Jesse plans, I am a thinker. I'm constantly looking and how did this happen? I was standing in front of an abbey and they're in England, in Bath, England, where my offices are. And they said it was 600 years old, I believe it was. And that, 600 or 800 years old. And that it took them 600 years to build it. And you know what came up in my mind? How do you have a 600-year-old building program and keep momentum going? That's the first thing. How can you build on something for 600 years and keep the building momentum when you can't hardly keep people's attention more than 6 months, much less 600 years? Then it dawned. I'm standing right there. Man, I started shouting. Kathy thought it was crazy. I said, I just got a revelation. Perpetual giving. In other words, the people that started that abbey told their children that this abbey, it's going to outlive us. But you need to be a part of what we're doing because the same God that's speaking to me will speak to you. And it kept that going on, you know, for 600 years. And of course, it's there today. They still got services in it. It's still a beautiful landmark. That's not the issue. But, you know, to do that, you got to believe somebody got your back. Mm-hmm. Somebody. So people say, but Jesse, you ever think about failure? No. And in fact, we'll talk about this tomorrow. I make no provision for failure. So most people do. I do not. I make no provision
plan
for failure.
B.
Plan B. I always, well, there's a plan A, there got to be a plan B. Because, you know, you got to be able to switch in time. Sometimes the devil will throw you a curve, but you got to know how to bat a curve. You got to know how to hit it if you're a baseball player. And you got to know how to hit a fastball. You got to hit a knuckleball, whatever. You got to know how to hit those things. So I'm very careful. I study my enemy greatly. I really watch him because you keep your friends close and you keep your friends close and your enemies closer, that kind of stuff. Because why? Not because you like them, but because you know they're going to hurt you. And if you know they're going to hurt you and if you know how they're going to hurt you, then they won't hurt you. It's just that simple. But one thing I am totally assured of, and I really believe I can say to all the people watching today, you never have to worry about the God, the Son of God, and the Holy Ghost, because they got your back. And, you know, I don't judge people. I love what Billy Graham said. He said, it's the Father's job to judge. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. And then he said something like this, but it's our job to love. Now, brother, if we walk in that love commandment, I heard your daddy preach on that many, many times. He said, owe no man anything but to love him. You can pay off all your debts in life, but you cannot pay off the debt of love. You're going to owe that forever. You have to love people.
Just think what that would do in the body of Christ if we all walked in that.
Right.
I mean, because it's the commandment, right?
Yes,
sir. To love your brother as your neighbor.
That's right.
And if we in the body of Christ would, first of all, did it within our own groups, right? Because
right?
we all got our groups.
Sure.
You know, we're labeled the Word of Faith.
Right.
And you have the Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many different yeah. denominations there are out there. First Baptist, Second Baptist. Lots of denominations out there. If we only within our group walked in that.
Oh.
But then within the body of Christ. But then the whole other side of that is we're supposed to walk that way with the with everybody else in the world.
That's correct.
The ones that don't like you, the
That's
ones
right.
that are mean to
the
you.
Center.
The sinner, we're supposed to walk that way with them.
You said it earlier. If we would walk in that love, your father would have never had a book wrote against him. He'd have had books wrote about him. Not against him, but for him. You see what I'm saying? It really is love just destroys everything in terms of evilness, you know. It is really the 11th commandment. I like it. Jesus didn't get rid of the original 10. He said, but I give you a new one, because if you keep this one. See, everybody was thinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, I broke 2 today. I broke 4 today. I broke 7, you know. But he said, if you keep this one, you won't break any of them. I like the parallel. I've said this preaching about Moses. If you think about it, he comes down the mountain. They've been up there 40 days, John, to get these books, these tablets. Now, these things are very valuable, right? By the hand of God. He comes down, he's holding them. He sees them dancing around a golden calf. Now, I can imagine what God thought in his mind. Moses. Oh, and boy, I mean, he's writing all this wonderful thing. And he looks at that. And Moses gets so mad because the nation of Israel broke one commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? But Moses got so mad he broke 10. He just took them and threw them. And I don't doubt God said, excuse me, I just made them things, boy. Get yourself back up that mountain so I can make another set. See, so if you broke one, you don't have to break 10. But Jesus said, if you keep the 11th commandment, you've observed all of them. Mm-hmm. So I would say love always has you back. It always will. It will sustain you during the hard times. It will sustain you during the good times. And let me tell you something. Sometimes the good times are more dangerous than the hard times because you get cocky during the good times. Sometimes. I won't tell you this. You know, you begin to think, well, I did this and
We've
I did that.
We've seen that in recent years.
Oh, when brother.
The economy's good and markets are good and and everybody kind of forgets about how they need God. And,
oh, yeah.
And then you can see when it stops, you know, people start remembering about what the word says,
Amen.
About their tithing, and about, you know, of course, a lot of people are in the place, you know, a lot of our partners, I've noticed like when the economy gets hit hard, and there's a lot of churches or ministries that get hit hard financially.
Right.
You know, right now, there's a lot of ministries that are down,
sure.
a lot of churches that are down financially
right.
because of the economy. Well, our partners and our friends, when the economy gets hard, and I'm sure yours are the same.
Sure.
They know what the word has said. They've been taught it. Now, sometimes people let it slip.
Sure.
You know, they
sure.
forget whatever.
Sure.
They get busy.
We're
cares
still human.
Of the world. Yeah.
Yes.
But when something comes of a tough time, a trial, or error like that, they know to turn back to this.
You better know it, son.
And when they turn back to this, then along with that is the tithing. Because if you're robbing from God, you can forget everything else.
Well, you're a thief.
Yeah. And so, you know, then you see our income doesn't see the drop like a lot of
That's
them
right.
do because of that, because they're not being compelled to give. Won't you help us, please? We're going to go off there if you don't help us. You know, somebody's liable to use that in the wrong way right there. Take that clip off the internet. They're not taught that. They're not giving because of compulsion.
Right.
They're giving because of what the Word of God says and what it does for them in their life and the results that they've seen in
well,
their life.
The partners, the Kentucky ministers, don't have to give. They get to give. See, this is what KCM does. With people. If you want to understand, quote, Word of Faith, when the time's good, we're still teaching people how to handle hard times. In other words, we know how to eat good, live good, drive good, fly good, walk good, whatever. But we also know how to tighten a belt. We also know how to say, okay, you know, if a torpedo hits the ship and we got to get in a little plastic boat or something like that, we know we may have to ration the water, but we're still going to get something to drink. See, I mean, anybody can live good times. Don't take much of that. But what do you do in bad times? What do you do when the shout's gone? You see what I'm saying? That's what I think Word of Faith, in fact, what I know Word of Faith teaches, I know your mother and father teach it. Because when everything's going good, they're telling you, look, the devil may, he ain't asleep. And it, just because it's the sun's shining there don't mean it ain't going to rain. Because rain's coming. It's going to happen. So in knowing the Word of God, when we're able, I call the Word of God a life preserver. It's going to keep your head above water. But if you take it off, or you cut a section out, you lose the buoyancy. I met Kathy as a lifeguard. You know you can't drown? Do you know people think, no, why? Because you got two life preservers inside your chest called lungs. The minute you panic, the minute you scream, you deflate. the lungs. You sink like a brick. But I mean, my God, you take a big breath. Your head may go under the water, but you're going to bobble up. You're going to float to the top because there's air inside of you. But the minute fear rushes out of your body, you deflate. You got trouble. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God's got our back. That's what we're preaching today. That's why we don't see the turndowns like a lot of other ministers. Not because we're better than them. That ain't got anything to do with it. It's that we've kept this life preserver full of air. So that if we ever have to abandon ship, we can still float.
This word is the answer. It's the only answer that is out there. And, you know, when times get hard, it works. When times are good, it works. And it's not that trouble won't ever come. It's though, but you can come out on the victory side of that trouble. I've heard people say, well, that we say that, you know, we don't ever have trouble. And if you do what the word says, and you'll never have any problems, never have any challenges. We've never said that.
Well, you know what
you're saying?
Because
they come.
Yeah, trouble comes. You just don't participate in it.
Yeah.
We don't deny trouble.
So how do you deal with it when it does come?
Yes, that's the whole key to it, how you deal with it. So I don't participate in recessions. Why? Because they're not good. Why would you want to participate in it? But I don't deny them. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. First thing I do when a slowdown comes, I increase my giving. Mm-hmm. Huh? People say, oh, you just saying it. No. That's how I know I'm gonna get the water level to go down on me if I increase my giving. That's what I do. That, you know, nobody wants to hear that, but that's simply the truth. You know, I know it works because I know many times the devil tried to blow a hole in the bottom of my ship and tried to drown me. I said, oh, yeah? So I just pumped more air in the life preserver of the Word of God, mm-hmm. put it around me. I just did it. And all of a sudden, I floated to the top. And before you know it, I started walking on the water. And that's even better.
And that's how when we're talking about vision and how whenever the challenge comes to your vision,
amen.
That you're walking out, when the challenge comes, how do you respond to it? And this is how you respond.
That's right.
And that's how you're going to come out on top. And that's how you're going to eventually fulfill that vision that God's given you. Jesse and I will be right back here in just a moment.
Does it seem like your life is passing you by? Have you lost your passion for life? Are you unsure of your destiny and purpose? We all have a special calling on our lives. We're all here for a reason. We all have a purpose. In the newest release from Jesse Duplantis, The Everyday Visionary, you can find purpose for your life, realize your potential, and start living now. With practical principles, Jesse explains how to get your vision from God, how to move that vision to reality, and why it is so important to make every day count towards something good. God desires for you to live an active and fulfilled life. We're not here to just exist, but to do well, live happy, and to make a difference for God. You can find your purpose and make it a reality today. Be courageous, step out, focus your thoughts, and change your life. Order your copy of Jesse Duplantis' new book, The Everyday Visionary, today for only $16. For faster delivery, order on our website at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. Or you may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Learn how to become an everyday visionary and fulfill God's plan for your life. Order your copy today.
Have you guys been facing problems and troubles and you're in a place that you can't seem to get out of and it's just a vicious cycle over and over in your life, but you want to change it, you want to see something different in your life or your family's life, you want to get out of the rut, you want to get out of debt, you want to move forward in your life? Well, Jesse's written a book, and it's called The Everyday Visionary, and this book is a great book to help you do just
Amen.
That. It'll help you get on track, on the right tracks, headed the right direction, and change your life. I really want to encourage you to get it because it will help you. It will help you in your life, and it will help your family.
Yes, indeed.
We have a meeting starting. It's a Southwest Believers Convention. It starts this Monday, August 3rd through the 8th in Fort Worth, Texas. It's our hometown meeting. It's not too late to get there, but you know what? If you just can't make it there, if there's no other option, then you can always tune in live online and watch it right there and take part of it. I would encourage you to do that because it is a really good meeting. And if
Amen.
If you get in there and you watch that and you be a part of that, it can change your life forever. We've got Super Kids services, which are ages 6 to 12, and we have the 1440, which is ages 13 through 18 for the youth. A great time, and this is not babysitting for those kids.
That's right.
This is the time they get in there, and they're taught the word. They learn to preach.
Amen.
They learn to lay hands on each other. It's really a great opportunity for the kids. And it'll start their school year off right with starting it off on a focus on Jesus. Choose to spend time as a family building faith. Your family will never be the same again. So, Jesse, this time that we've spent with this, we're going to come in tomorrow. We're going to come in and we're going to finish this up and wrap this last two weeks up. And I want to tell you, you don't want to miss it.
No, no.
It's going to be good. We're not through this thing yet. So this is John Copeland and Jesse Duplantis reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or to order a copy of today's product online, visit our website at kcm.org. There you'll find a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Let God's glory shine in your life at the 2009 Southwest Believers Convention.
It's a time of refreshing.
To get just saturated completely with the Word of God.
Abraham's blessing is mine. The Eden blessing is mine. My circumstance is supposed to look just like the Garden of Eden.
It's life for my children. It's health to my children.
We came to hear from God.
Now that you're in Christ Jesus, then you can walk together with Him in this earth realm.
The more you engage, the more you receive.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for ages 13 through 18, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.
Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will not relax my hold on you. He will never let you down. He's there every step of the way. He'll never let you go.
When you don't have anyone else, you know that you can turn to God. And He's always there for you. I know a lot of times we don't realize it. And when things are going great, we don't lean on Him so much. But then whenever something's going wrong in our lives, we run to God. But we need to realize that He's there all the time for us. He's got our back through the good, through the bad, the ugly, whatever it is. God is definitely always there taking care of us. So
tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
So if you've got cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, kryptonarthritis, infectious disorder of any kind, don't let a doctor make a provision for failure. Don't let them say, well, you know, go get your tomb, go get your casket, all that kind of stuff. What do you want to do? Do you want to live or do you want to die? Because it's all within your ability. It's all within your tongue.